You okay? Everybody hears me good? Great. You know that song, that last song you did, Levi, that was so good. Because, you know, sometimes we can get stuck in pride and thinking that we're all that. I'm still a little bit too loud for me. And get stuck in pride. And it's nice to be reminded that all we really can do is hold up empty hands and offer hallelujahs to the Lord. I mean, that just blesses me, because that's really all we've got, because everything we have has been given to us by Him. He deserves it. Good song, Levi. Thank you. Okay, if you got your Bibles, you're going to want them. Even though the verses may be up on the screen, you're going to want your Bibles. And y'all doing okay? Good. I'll pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that you have written down these things for us, Lord. That, Father, that each one of us in every generation, we can look back and see the same words. So, the Lord, if ever there's a question, we can always refer back to the book, Lord. And whether it be written in Aramaic, Hebrew, or Greek, Lord, or Latin, or Spanish, or English, Lord, Father, your Spirit reveals to us the truth that is within these pages, Lord. And that by your Spirit and by these words, that these two come in agreement, Lord. And that, Father, we have revelation by you. And Lord, I thank you that you're no respecter of persons. That any one of us, Father, that will lay hold of the truth that is within these pages, Lord, that we can walk in the manifestation of these things. Lord, search our hearts. Look within us, Father, and show to us where our attentions lie, where our value is, Lord. Is it in the kingdom of God, or is it in the kingdom of men? And Lord, I just ask that we can walk with integrity and righteousness before you these days. That Lord, as we see these days dawning and new days arriving, Lord, that we would be useful instruments for your kingdom in this time. And we trust you that you've begun this good work and that you will be faithful and just to complete it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good all the time. All right. So I keep wanting to teach something different, but the Lord just keeps bringing back to the same thing. So if you have heard this before, it is good for you to hear it again, because it needs to go deeper and deeper and deeper inside of us. Amen. So I'm going to start again. That Pastor Trey was teaching months ago about the winds and the waves. Remember when Jesus was in the boat and he was asleep on the pillow? You guys remember that story? If not, we can read it. He was asleep on the boat, on the pillow, and he said, let's go to the other side of the lake. They called it a sea. And the waves started coming and the wind started pitching. And all of a sudden, the waves were getting so big, they were filling the boat. Remember? And so as they were filling the boat, it freaked out the disciples. And they were scared, and they couldn't handle it, and it was too overwhelming for them, so that they, in their fear, they woke up Jesus and said, Jesus, aren't you even bothered by this? We're going to die, Robert paraphrase. And he rebuked them. Well, first he spoke to, let's look at it, Mark 4. Starting in verse 35. It says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great storm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" This kind of doesn't play it as well as it would be if I was on that boat. Or maybe if you were on that boat. And their boats weren't really huge back then. And so there's a whole bunch of people out there in dinghies trying to cross to the other side. And they're in a giant storm. And they're about to sink. Okay? So they are panicking. How many of y'all might be panicking too? So he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Can you see Jesus on that boat? He gets up, goes, "Peace, be still." Is that how you see him? I see him shouting because the wind is howling. And he shouts, "Peace, be still." With authority, he spoke. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He had the environment's attention. There's no doubt about it. And then what happened was, everything was smooth again, right? Then he arose, and okay, blah, 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 blah. But then he said in verse 40, but he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith?" That got my attention. When Pastor Trey preached that, man, it's been months now, right? It's probably been 3 or 4 months. I don't know. Could be even longer than that. Could be half a year ago. We were over in House of Expectations. And that just went like a dagger into my heart. And I asked myself, Lord, do you really expect us to walk and to live in that kind of power and anointing? Do you really expect that of us? I mean, aren't we supposed to just say, "Jesus, come into my heart," and then not swear anymore, give tithes and offerings, and go to church and sing and listen to good messages? Isn't that all I have to do? I mean, is there really more than that? And be kind to other people. Kind of be nice on the side to people. And then I'll grow old and go to heaven, and I'll be able to rejoice in heaven in your presence on streets of gold in a beautiful mansion of my own and live forever and get to run and frolic in the goodness and the beautifulness of heaven. Right? Isn't that what I get to do? And he convicted me that that's not quite right. He's convicted me that we are supposed to be completely transformed like he was. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, walk and live in that anointed power of God that is over the realm of this earth. He rebuked them. He said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? How is it you've been with me all this time and you've watched the miracles of the 5,000 get fed, the 4,000 get fed? You've seen all these things, the water turned into wine. You've seen these miracles of healings and resurrections of the dead, and you've been around all of this stuff that I've been teaching you. How come this is such a strange thing for you?" And you know, it would be okay if it was one isolated incident in the Bible by one writer. And I said, okay, this writer's a little stronger than everybody else. He's got a little attitude. But it's not like that. Remember the paralytic boy, the guy with epilepsy? When Jesus had just walked up to the Mount Transfiguration with his core three guys, Peter, James, and John, and they were up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus' clothes changed and shone like white, brilliant white. Like you can't even get that white. It's brighter than the brightest white. And his eyes shone and his feet shone like great lights. And there in that glorious presence, heaven and earth were both one place. And Moses and Elijah were standing there talking with Jesus. Is that real? Did that really happen? No, wait, let's think about this. Is that really real? Do we live our life like as if heaven is absolutely reality and heaven and earth is one realm? It's just you have to have your spiritual eyes open to participate in it. So it really is one realm, really? I mean, we read it in the Bible, but I'm telling you, I've been around long enough to know that we can be in this room and say this stuff is absolutely true. Get out on a highway, go 85 miles an hour down the freeway, and we're thinking about something completely different instead of heaven and earth being one. And that we are a part of an everlasting kingdom where angels and the Lord are present with us always. And there really is a devilish realm that is also present in the earth always. And that devilish realm is influencing men of this earth to manifest this earth the way they want it to be. And then we are part of the kingdom of light and of God, and we are here to not allow that to take place. Do we really live like that? I don't know. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I don't know. Just throwing some stuff out there. He rebuked them for having no faith. He says in another place, when I come back, am I going to find faith anywhere on the earth? I mean, this kind of faith. This kind of faith. So, that really got to me. Does the Lord really expect us to actually believe him and to walk in this stuff? Go back with me to Numbers 14 real quick. You don't have this one, so I'll give you time to get there. Go to Numbers 14. I'll tell you where, just give me 1 second here. Verse 11. Okay, so let me give you some backstory. This is where they came out of Egypt, right? And they went, crossed over the Red Sea, and they're in the desert now, and they're right up on the edge of the Promised Land. And God said he was giving them the Promised Land. Remember when he made the covenant with Abraham 430 years ago, right? And so now he's there taking them into the Promised Land. And he says, so get me one representative from each one of your tribes. Go in there, check it out, and then come back and report to everybody what it's like in there. And so they went in, they spied out the land, and the 12 guys come back, and they have grapes as big as cantaloupes on a rod between the two horses' bridles or saddles, right? And so it's like huge. It's very abundant. And they say in 13 here that it's beautiful. There's houses and gardens, and it's just magnificent there. And this is the land that God had promised. He said it flows with milk and honey. It's so beautiful. God's going to give us such a gorgeous place. But 10 out of the 12 people that got sent over there came back and said there's giants in the land. And they said that we see ourselves as grasshoppers in their sight, and they see us as grasshoppers in their sight. And they were fearful. They were afraid, like the guys on the boat. And they were trembling, and they got really mad. And you don't have to go here. Let me read this and then stay where you're at. In 14:3 it says, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? And God was so hurt by this that people would actually think that God wanted to hurt these people. That God would bring these women and children into a place that they would become the victims of these giants to do whatever they wanted with them. And it really bothered God. So then in verse 11, this is how God responds. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I have performed among them, I will strike them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. So God told Moses, he says, Moses, these people have hurt me so deeply, I'm paraphrasing, that they've rejected me. When I told them I was going to take them into this promised land, flowing with milk and honey, with gardens, and it's beautiful there, and I was going to give them this land, they don't believe me. So I'm going to wipe them all out and start all over with you, Moses. Moses said, no, 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 no. And Moses, I don't want to read it all, but Moses contended with God and said, you can't do that, Lord. Says, if you do that, then what's going to happen to all these other nations that are around us, that they see you here with us? They're going to say you're unable to bring these people in. So then God repented from Moses, and he said, all right, fine. I'm going to get rid of everybody that's over the age of 19. Because they said that, you can read it for yourself, just continue in 14. They said that I'm going to make them victims in this land. Fine. By their words. I'm going to, by their words, hold them to it. And you will see through the Bible that God, that's his MO. By the words that we speak, he holds us to it. Because he upholds his word above all things. He never lies. His word never returns to him void. It always accomplishes what he sends it to do. Doesn't it say that in Isaiah? Absolutely. And so God made words to be the most powerful tool that we have. It's the very most powerful thing he's given us, is our words. And so he said, by their words. And what happened was everybody above the age of 19 perished in the wilderness because they had slave mentality in their minds. They were looking at themselves as if they were the ones that had to accomplish this work, as if they were the ones by themselves that would have to take out the giants in the land, because there were fortified cities and there was great houses, and they looked only in the natural for how they would do the things of God. And he was very upset because they rejected him and didn't believe him, because he promised he would be the one that makes it all happen with them. Are you with me? So then they had to wait 40 years for this all to take place, for everybody to pass away. So the oldest person that fought in the Battle of Jericho was how old? Forget Joshua and Caleb, because they got to go in too. 59 years old. The oldest person was 59 years old in that whole community of people. So they had, nobody was 60 in that whole generation of people. And they went in to fight the giants because they were raised in the presence of God, right? And so because they lived a life in the presence of God, it was easier for them to just believe God, because he had proven himself over and over again. And then you saw in Corinthians, it says that he used them as a sign for us today, right? On how God is. So today, here's Jesus going back to the New Testament, rebuking them because they had no faith. So do you think that God expects us to believe him now in our lives? Yes or no? Okay. So would it be good for us to believe God? So what happens if what is inside of you disagrees with the truth of God? What do we do if what's in us can't believe God? What do? Do we perish? Huh? Shout it out. I'm okay with that. No answers. Keep plugging ahead. Okay? Or we could root out the unbelief. Or we can put down the flesh. Or we can, by faith, agree with God. Right? And step out in those things. Because I'll tell you what. You have been given power and authority whether you realize it or not. So if you just do it by faith, it's a miracle the way it works. If you don't feel it, so what? It's already been given to you. Your feelers have to change. They have to learn new things. If your eyes don't see it, then your eyes have to open up a little bit so you can start seeing into the realm of the kingdom of God. Just like Peter, James, and John, when they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration, they were overloaded. Don't get me, they were overloaded. And how about when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? He says, I am deeply troubled. Can you stay up with me for 1 hour and pray with me? I need some backup, guys. And they drifted off quick. And he said what to them? The spirit is willing, but what is the flesh? Weak. So what we have to do is realize that our flesh could possibly be weak and that our flesh may not agree with the things of God. And we just have to take authority over our flesh and do it anyway. Are you with me? Okay, so now I brought you all the way so that I can give you 8 verses. And these 8 verses, I want you to write every one of them down. I want you to look at every one of them. To me, these are very powerful verses. Okay, so that I think that if I give you 8 of them, it will have more sway over us. Maybe it'll give us a little bit more of a position to stand on, okay? Because here's the truth. You're anointed whether you feel it or not, right? It's a gift of God, okay? It's better to have the knowledge of God because then your mind can agree with God. It's better to have a close relationship with the Lord because then you can have more confidence in you, right? And so it's better if we keep blooming and growing and walking in it. But I will promise you this, the more we exercise our faith, the easier it will be to be in faith, right? Because the more we understand the kingdom of God and our eyes are open to it and our ears are open to it and we can perceive the spiritual realm more, by walking into a room and going, you know what the environment is when you step into that room. You know, and you know how to respond in those moments, right? And the more we do that, the more we'll start seeing into the spiritual realm. So I'm not going to ask you to raise any hands, but a lot of people have been fasting for these last few weeks and for a few more days. And I'll tell you, as we fast and put down our flesh, and we make it stop squee-weeing and crying out and getting its way all the time by denying our flesh like the Bible talks about, that it's amazing how our spiritual acute awareness increases. Now, it was always at that level, but what happens is the flesh has been covering it over and the flesh has been getting its way. But as we put down the flesh, what happens is the spirit is now in the dominant position, and it's amazing how we have more affluence in the kingdom of God and more influence over the things of the devil, right? It's amazing how that happens. It was always there. It was always there. It's just the flesh had risen up above it. And as we put the flesh down, that's very well manifested. Well, as we keep doing that kind of stuff, it gets easier and easier in the reality. Like on the Mount of Transfiguration, or when Jesus was being water baptized, when the Father spoke out of heaven in both of those circumstances, and he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. It will not be a strange thing that God would speak out of heaven. To you and me right now, it could be a very strange thing if God spoke right now and said, this is my beloved Son, Robert. Pay attention to what he's saying. It would trip you out. I guarantee you. It would freak you. Because to us, we're not used to that. Right? And it could be because we aren't as close into the realm of walking in the things of the Spirit as we could be. So let's look at these eight verses. Verse number one is Matthew 17. Matthew 17, and I'm going to go with verse 17 and verse 20 and 21. And in verse 17, it says, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. This is when they came off the Mount of Transfiguration. The epileptic boy was having seizures. The disciples could not cast it out of them, and they couldn't figure out why these demons wouldn't listen to him when other things have happened that they've had healings in, but this demon wouldn't listen to them and go, right? And they were stuck. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured in that very hour. And the disciples came and privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Verse 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So is that revelation to us? Now he quantifies that in this one chapter where he says in verse 21, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So this writer includes that statement in this, which after we've been praying and fasting, we know that something happens when you pray and fast. You become clearer in the spirit. Your mind becomes clearer, your body becomes lighter, and you start having a closer connection with what you were already connected to, but now it's more awake to you. You're more in tune with it. So this one, he rebuked them again for being faithless. So again, God is expecting us to walk in these things. But here's what he said, and I'm going to bring this up a few times. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. His words. When we use our words, Jesus used his words and rebuked the wind and the waves. He used his words and rebuked the demon. Flip the page, chapter 21. Chapter 21 and verse 21. Are you with me? Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also, if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Boy, I wish I had one more hour. So, whatever you ask in prayer, that word ask is aleito, which is 154 in the Greek. You guys know that? I've said it 1,000 times. I'll keep saying it forever as long as I'm on the earth. It means to ask. But if you go down in Strong's and look at it, and you go to word 4441, which gives you all the kinds of asks in the Bible, this ask only has one meaning. And let me just read it to you. This ask, where am I at? I'm in Matthew 21, 21. No, verse 22. That's why I don't see it. Ask, 54. I'm going to go down and read these asks in 4441. Okay, so look at these kind of asks, you guys. It's a middle voice of primary words which occurs only as an alternate in certain tenses. To question, that is, ascertain by inquiry as a matter of information merely and thus differing from, look at this. Okay, this is 4441. I just described what 4441 is, okay? So it's just, and that word is panthothomia, Okay? And so that is to ask a question. Okay? And it's different in this way. And it's differing from 2065, which properly means a request as a favor. So he's saying that this ask that we use in 154 is not requesting God to do something for us as a favor when we ask God for something. Okay? It's not an answer to a question. It absolutely is not to get an answer to a question. It is absolutely not to have God give us something as a favor. That is not what he's saying. So when you ask God, that is absolutely not what he's talking about. Every single time it's 154. Okay? You need to know exactly what this is. Now, 154, I'm going to just skip that one, and I'm going to go to 2221, which implies a search for something hidden. So we're not asking for God to show us something that's hidden, that we can be revealed. Not this ask, that whatever thing you ask, that's not this ask. So we're not asking for him to reveal something that's hidden. He's not asking him to do us a favor. He's not answering a question. Or 1189, which involves the idea of an urgent need. So that's not the kind of ask either. It's not asking God for something because we really, really need it. It's not that kind of ask either. So we need to know what this ask is, because I say it all the time, but I don't think that it's hard for our, I think it's hard for our hearts to really grasp what he's saying here, because a lot of us ask God for stuff and we're asking in one of those other three ways. We're trying to get a question answered. We're trying to say, God, you love me so much. Do it because you love me. Do it because you love them. Or it's an emergency, God. You've got to intervene right now. If you don't intervene right now, they're going to die. It's none of those. So what is this ask that it says is in this? It says 154, which means strictly a demand of something due. Strictly. It is only a demand for something that is due you. So this word, all these eight verses that I'm using, when it talks about praying and asking God, it's owed to you. It's due you. It's yours. We've got to let that sink in, because the devil will try to make us feel inferior or condemned somehow, powerless, or thinking that our actions or our past will somehow disqualify us, that we're unworthy for what we're asking for. Are you with me? So I said, Lord, how is it possible that this ask is only a demand for something due us? How is it that whatever I ask, and I'm going to give you more verses, how is it that this is owed to me? And he said, in Ephesians 3:1, you know where he says that he has, past tense, giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies? Do you know where it says that in Ephesians 1:3? He has already said yes and made it available to us. So since it's already a yes and it's available to us, all we need to do is ask for it, because it's due us. He already made it available for us. So it's already ours. And that's why in Ephesians 1:17 and 18, he's talking about that the eyes of your heart would be opened so that you would really know what it is that you've been given as an inheritance, so that you and I would really know what we're entitled to. And I don't have time, but boy, I got to tell you, we've been given some really great things if you look in Ephesians. For one thing, he's really expecting us to show the world his manifest glory in this earth over all the principalities and powers. I want to teach that one time, but I just needed to hit this today. Maybe next time. So let me go on with these verses, but I need you to know that this ask is strictly
So we read in Matthew 21:21. Go to our next verse. So listen, this is what he says, that when you ask this way, nothing is impossible for you. If you can actually believe that God has already made it available for you and it's yours, then it's not impossible for you. But you've got to be the one that understands that, right? That means you've got to actually believe God that he has actually given you all these things. This is exciting stuff. I'm telling you, I'm about ready to jump out of my skin. Can I do a Pastor Trey? Yeah! This is good stuff, you guys. Look at this one in Mark. I might say it a couple more times. These asks only are a demand for something. It's strictly for something that's due you. So he says, have faith in God in verse 22. For assuredly I say to you, in verse 23, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Verse 23, therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask, which is strictly a demand for something that is due you, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So he's saying that whatever you ask for, it's your right to have it. Let's go to the next verse. I hope you're writing these down. Luke 11. I'm going to start in verse 5. This is to get a perspective on asking. Because sometimes we don't get what we ask for in 10 seconds. Sometimes we don't get what we ask for in 10 minutes. Sometimes we don't get what we ask for in 10 days. And sometimes we don't get what we ask for in 10 months. So he's got to clear this up for us. Why does it happen for 2 seconds over here, but it takes months over here? Right? So you have to ask until you know you got it. Verse 5. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me in his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give to you. We would probably not say our kids are in the bed with us. We would probably say, go away. It's late. We're in bed already. Get out of here. Come back in the morning, right? That's probably what we would say. I say to you, though he will not rise to give him, verse 8. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend. Remember one of those asks was, you're my friend, give it to me because I'm asking you, because you're my friend. You're so good. God, you're love. God, you're good. Give it to me because you're so good. That's not what he's saying. That's this ask here. It says he won't give it to you because you're his friend. And yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So what he's saying is, this guy was persistent that he needed to get what he was asking for. And because he was so persistent with it, he pressed in long enough and got it. Are you with me? So that's an unjust man is able to do that. But God's not unjust. But he does want us to be focused and persistent that we really do press in to get what it is we're asking for. So I say to you in verse 9, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. And it goes on to say down below that you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give to those who ask him? So, that ask, again, Aleto 154. And he says, ask and keep on asking. It's in the present tense. So it means keep asking until you get your answer. Keep seeking until you find. Keep knocking until it's opened. Right? So in other words, it says you absolutely will get it. Everyone who asks receives. So what's the qualifier? Us. I want to let you know it's us. Are we in faith? Are we in faith? And if we are in faith, we'll absolutely have it. But sometimes we need to be persistent and keep it going because we haven't seen it yet, right? So we got to keep asking because we know it's ours. We absolutely know we're entitled to it. We know we're going to get it. We just got to get the yes, right? So, in other words, if Pastor Trey's raising Levi, or you're raising your children, or your parents raised you, and everything they have you're entitled to, you still got to ask for it, right? You can't just go and take it. You got to ask for it. Like, that'll let you use the car, but you better ask for the keys and not just take the car, right? Or you might need to ask to have another plate of food or another piece of chicken or whatever it is. Ask if you can go out to your friend's house. You know, it's not because you may or may not get it. It's because God wants to be involved and your parents want to be involved in your life. They're raising you. God's raising you, right? So keep going on. In Luke 17, he's talking about that, you know, Peter needed to forgive somebody. And he said, how much? And he says, I'll forgive him 7 times. And Jesus says, 70 times 7, right? And Peter goes, oh, man, Lord, increase my faith. Help. Oh, my gosh, that's a lot. And Jesus gives this example, and he says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will what? Say to the mulberry bush, be pulled up by the roots and be planted by the sea, and it will obey you. Then he went into talking about the servant, that you need to do what's been required of you to do. So Jesus just throws this in here as a simple little, this is a matter-of-fact thing, guys. This is just a matter-of-fact thing. That your words are powerful and they accomplish what you say. Whatever you ask me for, you're going to get it. Whatever you're praying for, you're going to get it. Whatever you're going to say, you're going to get it. So this is just a matter-of-fact thing. You just got to believe it. Going on. So, John 15. I'm making a point of using as many of these as I can find so that you can see that this is a principle throughout the entire Bible, that it is not that God is divvying out answers, yes or no. He absolutely is not doing that. John 15, talking about the true vine, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. Jump over. Here's another one in chapter 16, verse 24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. And over here it says in verse 8 after 15, it says, by this my Father is glorified that you must bear much fruit so that you will be my disciples. So in other words, when you get these answers to your prayers, not only is God glorified, but it makes you very happy when you get whatever you say and the answers to your prayers. And God loves that. God doesn't look at the woe is me. He doesn't come from that woe is me. He doesn't come from, these are giants. He doesn't come. You don't know what the political climate is, Lord. You don't know how mean they really are. You don't know how big these waves are and how much that wind is blowing. God, you don't know. It's too big. To him, it's not. It's not. And he has seated you with him above every principality and power and above every name that is named. So you're above it all too. if you'll believe God and not your circumstances. Let's go on. There's a couple more. These are both in the same book. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. Again, strictly something that is due you. You are entitled absolutely to what you ask God for. It is His good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. And we put all of these stops in what's available and what's not. And my last one is in First John chapter 5. After he just gets through talking about that Elijah was a man just like you and me. In verse 14 it says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we have whatever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So if we just lump all these together, Jesus is saying, of course whatever you say is going to come to pass. Absolutely. Ask. God loves it. It glorifies Him when you do. And you get so thrilled when I give you what you're asking for, because you're entitled to it, and it makes your life better, because you know the will of God, which is that you glorify God, that you walk like He walks, that you love people, that you show the goodness of God to the world around you, and that whatever you ask Him, just believe that it's okay to have it and it's yours. And if you've believed, you receive. Straight up, it'll be yours. And my last example is when I go to Amazon.com, I guarantee you, I am convinced that I put my credit card number in there, that when it says buy now and I swipe that little buy now, when my finger hits the other side and that button disappears, I know it's on its way. If I go right then and check and go, okay, see my order history? It says I ordered it, but it doesn't say anybody's packed it yet. They haven't packed it yet. Oh, but they will pack it. They will. Somebody's going to get that thing and stick it in a box or an envelope. And I can check back in a little while and say, oh, they packed it, but it hasn't shipped yet. But it's going to ship. I know it's going to ship. And then I look a little later and go, it shipped. Mm-hmm. And if I really don't have confidence, I can look a little later and go, oh, it's being delivered. It's being delivered. It will be here by 7 o'clock tonight. It's being delivered today. And I get excited. I have done that process so many times that when I swipe that thing over, I know it's paid for. I know somebody's going to pack it. I know it's going to get into the mail. I know it's going to get to my post office. I know they're going to deliver it, and I will have it. I'm convinced. Right? 8 verses I just gave you that every time you ask, you are absolutely entitled to it because you're the son or daughter of God Himself, that He made it available already for you in the heavenly places, and the answers to your prayers are yes and amen in Him, it says in 1 Corinthians. It also says He's given you all things richly to enjoy. I mean, it's like, it's only a broken, darkened conscience that makes you quantify or qualify what God will or will not give you. But a clear conscience that's in everlasting life, it never enters the realm of your thoughts. You're God's son and daughter. His power is not, he divvies out or holds it back. It's not. It's available. It's already yours. He's already said yes. Just ask for it and know you got it. He doesn't say ask for it. God will think about it and then you got it. He says if you ask for it, you've got it. Receive. We've got some talking to do to ourselves. We've got some reconciling to do in our minds. We might have some old doctrine that has been there long enough. And it's time to turn it loose. And start saying, Lord, I'm the variable, not you. You said you were giving us the promised land. You said that you have given me all things richly to enjoy. You said that every spiritual blessing has been given to me in the heavenly places. You said that whatever thing I ask for, I receive it. You said it. And that's the truth. So whatever is in me that can't accept that as reality, that's what's blocking the manifestation of it. And that thing that's blocking the manifestation of it is the thing that's got to go. Because if that thing that's blocking it, like the giants were blocking the beautiful gardens and the big houses and all the elegance of that land, then you got to know that God is bigger than what's blocking. And that you need to believe Him anyway and do it anyway. And if you do it a few times, you start seeing some results. And if you hang in there until you get your results, that's the big thing. So listen, if He says that if you ask, you receive. If you pray, you get it. So if that's the truth, then when you pray for something and you're not seeing the results, you need to hang in there anyway and keep knocking and keep asking and keep pressing in. And it's not begging God. It's not, oh God, turn it loose. It is not that. It is you. You got to get past your defense mechanisms that are in place. I need to get past mine. That we can actually believe God and manifest these things cleanly. Amen? And so the more we believe Him and the more we press in, the more we're going to get it. How many of y'all have a testimony that something was a pain or a problem, or you needed something from God and you stuck with it and started seeing results? Let that be a testimony to you. That's a few swipes that you have done where you've tested out the process and you know it works. So listen, we need to get up a little higher to where those are the easy things. And get rid of the unbelief so that we can step up even higher. Because over the wind and the waves, over the water into the wine, putting the ear back on the servant's head, there's some hires that we can walk in. But if we don't deal with the little minutia, we'll never ever be able to go to the bigger things. Right? So I would encourage all of us to fast, to pray, to ask God sincerely, Lord, what's blocking me from seeing the manifestation of these things? If you really did say, which Pastor Robert showed us 8 verses that says that whatever I say comes to pass, or whatever I pray, I receive. So what's blocking me that this is not moving forward in my life? What do I believe? What am I holding in my heart? And I'll tell you this as we go. Several times, I just didn't read it all the way, in Mark 11 and in Luke 17, he went on to say, he was talking about forgiveness. That we need to forgive others. And if you have aught with anybody, you got to turn it loose. Because that's blocking too. That's blocking. And so to have a clear conscience before God and a clear conscience before people is huge. Pastor Trey, you got something? Come on up.
You know, I just had on my heart to share something. I was ministering to somebody last night one-on-one. And in doing so, this person was conveying to me that they've been having a struggle. And in this struggle, they were essentially saying that the devil was just bombarding their mind like he would seasonally do with things like, you're unsuccessful, you're never going to amount to anything, you're a loser. And this is just something that has plagued this individual for a period of time. And while this person was explaining it to me, I said, so let me ask you a question. When those thoughts come, what do you do? How do you respond? Well, I try to deal with them. I'm taking those thoughts captivity and all that kind of stuff. I said, let me tell you what you should do. And this really goes in line with getting the unbelief part out. You got to understand, where do they come from? And he confessed, it came from the devil. I said, well, if it came from the devil, what is the devil? The father of all lies, and there is no what? Truth in him. Therefore, the opposite must be the truth. So I said, I would encourage you to go through each one of those negative statements the devil's making to you, reverse them, write them down, and when those negative thoughts come, you say, no, Mr. Devil, I'm a winner, I'm successful, I will come through, I always overcome, and just basically give the counter to everything he's saying. And the reason why I'm sharing this with you this morning is, in my experience and opinion, the way we get past the normal train of thought that keeps us from operating in something more and something better is you've got to counter it with your words. A lot of the verses Pastor Robert used today said, say, 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 right? So saying is key to the renewal of your mind to the opposite of whatever that is. So whatever you need to overcome, whatever it is, the hurdle it is, write those things down and verbally come against those things. And I believe that's when the Bible says, when you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved, healed, delivered, and get to the place God's called you to be. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up then. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I think we should just practice that this morning. Amen? Let's get some of the unbelief out. And since we're in healing school, we'll tackle a lot of the physical things, but let's do this morning. And I want you to not use your nice, sweet church voice. I want you to use your loud and obnoxious Pastor Trey voice, which is, get a little loud, get a little vocal, and let it come up out of your heart, and let's get some of the unbelief out. But it's not going to stop here. We're going to have to take it beyond these walls. Amen? Say, Lord, I thank you that I am victorious. I am an overcomer. Mountains move when I speak to them. I thank you. The storms listen to me. I thank you that Goliath is defeated by me. I thank you for healing. I thank you for deliverance. I thank you that you are my God and you deliver me. I am more than a conqueror. I am more than victorious. I am an overcomer, and I overcome the world by my faith. And I say so. I say so. I say so. I am the redeemed of the Lord. And I say so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is a key to erasing the narrative in your heart. I'm telling you, so many of us have had so many negative things projected on us, told to us, modeled to us, and we just thought wrong. Thank you. show me all the keys.